So sickness levels in the Northern Ireland Civil Service have risen to their highest level in 5 years. So an average of 12.4 days were lost per employee last year, and that is up from 11.7 the previous year. So approximately one in every seven staff have had at least one spell of long-term absence lasting around 3 months on average. The phone lines are open 030 30 80 55 55. Bumper Graham from the trade union NIPSA is with me this morning, and the businessman Frank Shivers. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Bumper, what's happening? Why the increase?
Well, the report comes out around about this time each year, and all it produces is raw figures. And what we want to do is try and get behind those figures to see what the cause is. We do know, and the report gives it in data terms, that most of the sick leave is down to anxiety, stress, depression, and psychiatric illness. And we want to determine what the cause of that is and how we rectify it.
Now, well, you've worked in this industry for a long time, Bumper. So from your experience, what link do you think there is there to the job and the rules
well,
these people
the,
have
the,
to do?
The link is very clear, that the civil service borrowed money on behalf of the executive to put 3,000 civil servants out of work. Not one piece of work was dropped, so the remaining civil servants are having to do their own job, plus that of the 3,000 who went. Day in, day out, civil servants are under attack. Their terms and conditions are being attacked. You have covered in your programme about public service pay, where they haven't had a pay rise or a decent pay rise of anything more than 1% for 7 years. So there's a real morale issue. In addition to that, they're facing major changes in how they do their work. For instance, the biggest department, which accounts for about 9,000 civil servants, Department of Communities, is having to deal with a brand new system that is not yet worked out in relation to welfare reform. Many other civil servants are having to face challenges, again, which they don't know will pan out in terms of Brexit. So there's a lot of concern and anxiety about the daily working. There's the extra pressure from the job losses, but yet no reduction in work. And there's the shameful way in which they've been treated by their employer, both in terms of pay, pensions, and other attacks on their terms and conditions. Well, so we have a real morale issue. We have a real problem with stress and anxiety and psychiatric illness.
You obviously will be a man that can answer this next question, Bumper, because many people will be asking themselves, well, how does it work in this sector if you are a civil servant and you work in Northern Ireland and you're sick? How long can you work and get full pay or half pay? How does that work?
Well, the rules are pretty complicated, but in essence, within a four-year period, you're entitled to up to 6 months on full pay and 6 months on half pay. But the actual operation of those rules get very complicated, so they do.
So 6 months on full and 6 months on half?
Yes.
Within a four-year period?
A four-year period on a rolling basis.
Okay. Frank Shivers, are you buying what Bumper's saying this morning?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think it's important to say that, you know, the sickness level, nearly 50% of civil servants didn't take any absence of sick. So that's an important thing to say. I do agree with Bumper. We need to drill down. And Bumper's highlighted a number of issues, you know, the sickness level being so high. But I would ask Bumper a question. It's 7.2 in the English Civil Service who do exactly the same job, have had the exactly the same stress and reforms put on them. How does he account for that?
Well, there are a number of reasons as to the differences. In the Northern Ireland figures, we include the prison service, which NIPSA isn't responsible for prison officers, and there's a high rate of absenteeism there, again due to stress and psychiatric illnesses because of threats. A number of our members have received threats in the public service this week.
Does that make it up from that 7.2 to 12.4?
Well, nowhere near.
It accounts for some of it, Vinny, and what I'm saying is, you know, Frank's saying compare us with the civil service in England and Wales. You can't do that direct comparison. We deliver a different range of services here, but to this day, public servants in Northern Ireland, including civil servants, are still subject to attack and threat from paramilitaries and those hiding in the dark corners.
I understand, but just going back to Frank's point in terms of that 7.2 to the 12.4, do you think, is there anything else that's contributing to that that makes it different here in Northern Ireland, Bumper?
Well, certainly the way in which job cuts took place in the civil service in England was over a five-year period. Ours was done within a nine-month period. So the loss of 3,000 posts within 9 months has had a catastrophic effect on those staff that are left behind.
Frank, there is this perception sometimes that every year or so when this comes around, it's, you know, bash the civil servant kind of time, and it's almost like an easy target. We assume that that job is an easy job. It's a job for life. And that if you're in there, quite often people have this perception that some people swing the lead. The facility is there to take that sick leave that Bumper mentions, and many of them feel like they are entitled to do so.
Well, yeah, I can see what you're saying. But, you know, look at anybody who didn't have service over 2 years. Their average sick was 3 days. Now, they're doing exactly the same job. Yes, the time scale mightn't be as high. But the natural conclusion would be that, you know, people get on to the system and go, oh, right, I can get away with having X amount of days sick.
Well, that's not the case, Frank. Part of the problem there is that people in their first 2 years, one of two things happens to them. They're either so fearful of taking sick leave when they should be on sick leave because they are in their probationary period. And as well as that, it is easier for management to dismiss people in their first 2 years than it is beyond that in relation to the various protections, etc.
Yeah, and my point
I would make is,
if you're sick, you're sick. If you're sick and you can't go to work, the threat of actually being disciplined or sacked wouldn't really come into it. I mean, if you're sick, you're sick. You can't work.
And the data says that 81% of the sickness is actually on the back of GPs and others' medical statements. And the other 19% in the main would be self-certification, because the government says that in the first 7 days you certify yourself. So these people are absolutely sick, and there are people coming to work in the civil service who actually shouldn't be at work because of their illnesses.
How do you think it measures up, Bumper, to the likes of the private sector or people in a job, a position where they don't have that 6 months full, 6 months half pay within 4 years rule?
Well, there's always this question asked, and the problem is you're not comparing apples with apples. The civil service counts, if somebody is off for a month that has 31 days, then that is counted as 31 days. In the private sector, they might only count that as 21, 22 days, because they will only count the Monday to Fridays. So there is a big issue in trying to do comparisons. But
you understand the reason I've asked that, because when we do this story year in, year in.
The issue is there is little point in talking about crude, raw data. Last year, when the figures came out, we approached senior management in the civil service and said, let's get around the table and see what we can do, particularly in relation to the psychiatric mental health illnesses, which is the biggest issue. The management side brushed us off and said, we're doing all that can be done, we're doing no more. Now, that is unacceptable, and I've put up again to the management side, engage with us to see what we can do, because we can make major inroads into the stress and the psychiatric and mental health
issues. It is difficult to counter that.
Major change in the data.
Frank Shivers, it is difficult to counter that, given what Bumper has said in terms of the job losses and the sheer amount of work that people have to do. Less people, same amount or more in some cases. Therefore, that's going to lead to stress. Therefore, that's going to lead to you wanting and needing time off work. And if your contract says you're entitled to it, then why would you not do that?
Because there's several reasons. In the private sector, you've got to go to work. And quite often, if you don't work, you don't get paid, or you get statutory sick pay, which is, you know, something like £90 a week. So the onus is really on you as a worker to get into work.
Surely you would agree that no worker to go to work.
Just let him finish his point, Bumper. I'll bring you back in.
People have to go to work. They don't have the same rights and benefits of what the civil service do. But bear in mind, the civil service in Northern Ireland costs us £1,800 per minute to pay people in it. Now, if we're losing 12.4 days, it works out, it's a cost to us as the taxpayer of about £33 million lost.
And Frank, of course, the money is a very valid point and the cost to us, the taxpayer, but let's not forget we're talking about people here. These figures are people. There's a text we've had in here. It says, I'm a senior manager, will not say what department, a government department in a frontline role. I work approximately 15 unpaid hours per week as things are so busy and at breaking point. Staff were let go and not replaced. And in 15 years in the civil service, I've only ever had 10 sick days on leave. However, I'm close to breaking point and considering going off ill myself due to stress. We need help. And, you know, it's one of those things. It comes back to that point again. You know, we can look at these figures and we can assume some people will, that people are abusing a system. But there are people behind these figures, Frank Shivers, who are under extreme pressure and are trying to do their best. And as Bumper is suggesting, perhaps management are not supporting them.
But as I started saying, you know, just under 50% of all civil service workers haven't gone sick, which makes that 12.4% an average of 51% of the total workers even worse. If you look at it in that context.
Yes, but Frank, you're playing a game with figures. I mean, I want to deal.
And so
with
do you, Bumper?
The cause that underpins all of this.
Don't suit you. You don't want to know. You don't want to talk about them. But no, when they do suit your cause, you pull them out of the drawer.
No, I am genuinely interested in getting the management side around the table to see what we can do, because we recognise and our members recognise that because of the state of the civil service in terms of the amount of work and no workers to do the work, that if somebody goes sick, that
yeah, whatever you're trying to do, Bumper, is clearly not working, because this is the highest in 5 years. So whatever chats you're trying to have with the management, it's not having that desired result.
You're absolutely right, Vinny. So why did the management side, and I have it in black and white, why did the management side write back to us last year after I wrote to them asking for engagement to see what could be done? They wrote back and said, no, we're doing all that can be done. An absolutely disgraceful response from senior management in the civil service.
Let's take some calls on this. Richard, go ahead.
Morning, Vinny.
Good morning.
Bumper lands out of the game. That man's in denial. 90% of them civil servants are non-Roman. They're only off because they get a full day's
pay. How do you know that, Richard?
Because I know people working in the civil service.
You know 100% of the civil servants to know that 90% of them, there's nothing wrong with them.
Well, why is the figures not the same in the private sector? In fact, they should be higher in the private sector, because in the private sector, they don't have pensions, they have less holidays.
You're generalising just a bit, Richard, but I get the point you're trying to make. Sorry, Richard, but people in the private sector do have pensions and they do have holidays, so let's not just try and...
But not as many. They don't have the job security, they give us all the service. And I'll tell you, Robert, he's on about there, about figures and this and that. Maybe, can he tell me how many people make a miraculous recovery when the full pay stops? Can they tell me that?
Bumper?
There are very few people get anywhere close to exhausting their entitlements under sick pay.
Do you know how many, Bumper?
I wouldn't know that off the top of my head, because that data we don't have.
I'll tell you what, Bumper, Stephen Nolan lives on Fantasy Island. You live in Fantasy. You must be his next door neighbour. You live in Fantasy Land. You go to golf course.
I live in the real world where we're trying to make sure.
I love and work in the real world. Not you.
And it's our members in the civil service who deliver your essential services.
You listen to me, because all you are is a rabble rouser. You go to any golf course today and that's full of people playing golf that's on the sick and that's on the service.
Oh, Richard, but can you really...
Go to Benidorm and they're all sitting in the sun.
Richard, what are you basing that on?
Because I talk to people in the service there and they tell me.
They tell you they're away to play golf and they're away to Benidorm?
Of course they are. I know many persons that's took a day off on a sick day.
But do you think it's a fair... Do you think, Richard, to be fair, that is everyone you're applying that to? Or do you think there are a few, Richard, and you're being very unfair on a lot of people?
How long am I? I said about 90%.
There are
some genuine cases. There's no doubt about it. But most of them are swinging the lab. There's none wrong. They're just off because they get full pay. If they're getting statutory sick pay like you get in the private sector, the levels are about far lower. If they got £80 a week, why do they get full pay anyway? What's that about?
So is Richard saying that the doctors who are issuing medical certificates saying these people are unfit are colluding with these people?
Well, listen here a minute.
81% of these people are covered by medical certificates.
You live in the real world. I live in the real world. Last time I was off in a sick, the doctor says to me, how long do you want to ask? If I work in Silver Stairs and I go into Silver Stairs and I'm the doctor and say, I feel tired and I'm stressed out in the job, is there any chance of a sick line? The doctor gives you a sick line and away he goes with a smile in your face.
What do you do for a living, Richard?
That's not your business, what I do. But I work.
Do you work in the private sector?
I work in the private sector.
Are you self-employed?
45 hours away. No, I'm an employee.
Well, can I ask you then, in terms of your entitlement, what happens if you have to go sick or if you want to leave?
I get £80 a week or £90 a week, whatever it is.
So you don't get any sick pay from your employer?
No, I get statutory sick pay because that's what it is in real world. Civil servants don't know their living.
And does that affect you and your decision, Richard?
Hold on a second. Just let me ask you a question, Richard, and I'll let you come back.
Go ahead, Richard, then.
I went to Krakow last week.
Right.
And had a 2 days unpaid leave to go because all my holidays was taken up. I work in the real world.
Hold on a minute, Richard, but had you used all your holidays?
I've used all my holidays.
So what did you want if you wanted to take another holiday and you didn't have any allowance left?
Aye.
So you had to take them unpaid.
My point is, if I was in the civil service, I would go to the doctor and get a sick line and take a couple of weeks off, full pay, happy days, away you go. Wouldn't cost me a penny. And that's what they're all doing. 90% of them are non-wrong.
Bumper, part of the problem is that this, what Richard says, it might feel a bit extreme, but there are many people that do agree with him. There's a perception within...
But it's a false perception.
Why is it there, though?
Well, not false, a couple of points.
Richard, let Bumper talk now. I asked him a question, please. I'll keep you there, but I'll bring you back in. Bumper, go ahead.
Not only has Richard castigated every civil servant, he's also castigated every GP in Northern Ireland, which is wholly wrong. And in addition to that, the civil service has a robust regime of referring people to its own occupational health service. So there are controls and checks and balances in the system. But we can't ignore the fact that the biggest cause is stress and mental health issues. And that is as a result of all the additional pressures that are on people. And we want to try and resolve that. But the management side are the ones who are not prepared to sit around a table with us.
OK, Bumper, stay there for a second. Jerry in Lisburn. Good morning, Jerry.
Hiya, Vinny. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. You want to talk to Frank Shivers?
Yes.
Go ahead. He's listening.
I want to make a point to you. And your ideas are typical of the Conservative ideas. You want to bring us back to the Victorian days where we have no rights and no... you know, no rights whatsoever. You want us all on 0% or 0 hours contracts, and you want us to have no rights whatsoever. It's typical of a Conservative idea. It's the race to the bottom.
Absolutely not. What I'm saying is that we need to deal with the sickness record in the civil service. It's abysmal in comparison to the private sector. And I'm not talking about the benefits and the difference in salaries. I'm not putting the private sector against the public sector. I'm saying why is it so different? And it's different because they get paid when they're on the sick. A lot of that is down to, and I'm not agreeing with Richard in regards to 90%. And I will say, and I started the interview by saying, 50% of the civil servants haven't taken any days off sick. There's a lot of really good, decent, hard-working civil servants throughout all of the various...
Yes, but you are ignoring to an extent, Frank, what Bumper said when he first came on in terms of the pressures off the job, the stress, the redundancies, the cuts that were made and the work that is then shared around the same amount of work or more around fewer people, which could, as a result, lead to people being stressed and having serious mental health problems.
I mean, as a worker, the only thing you can do is your best when you go into your job. So you go in 9 to 5, whatever it may be, shift work or whatever, the only thing you can do as a worker is your best. And that's all you can ask from a worker.
True, but you might try and struggle on if you didn't have the option to take leave because you need to support your family, pay your mortgage. So if you don't have the option, and we mentioned the 6 month full pay, you might struggle on and do yourself more damage because you don't feel like you have the option to take off and have just the basic, 80 quid a week.
And are we saying that the stress in the civil service is far greater than the stress in the public sector? Is that what you're saying, Vinny?
I'm just asking the question.
But do you know that to be the truth, Frank?
What?
That the stress is more in the private sector.
No, I'm asking the private sector. What, if you look at the sickness absence records and the percentages in civil service who go off sick, quite often, as Bumper has said, for stress and various other bits and pieces, compared to the private sector, that would indicate, if that's your argument, that the stress and strain of the job in civil service is creating all that absenteeism, then that would suggest that, but we all know it's not.
I disagree, because...
How do you know it's not, Frank?
As Bumper says, you're not comparing apples and oranges. You're not comparing the same thing.
Let's bring in James at this point. James, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, James. Go ahead.
Who are you talking to?
Is that James in Cookstown?
Tom. That's you made the wrong name all the time, my boy.
What's your name?
Tom.
Hello, Tom. Good morning. Go ahead, Tom.
What did I tell you? They're talking to them people. Them people doing 2 and 3 jobs and not a damn but I want to. There's a lot of people stuck in Northern Ireland. And you know what makes you sick? MFA is getting paid and they're not sick. That makes you sick.
What would you do if you were in charge, Tom?
In charge? I would let the ones who want to walk into their job and do the job of storming and let the ones who doesn't want to go in take the money off them and I'd not be damn long to follow them in.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Robert, the taxi driver, go ahead.
Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning.
I would like to say very clearly, I've found it annoying that people are lambasting civil servants when they're out in the sick. First point I would like to make is medical professionals are professional people. And when civil servants go to them with their various different problems and the medical practitioner bears them unfit, what's the problem with them not getting full pay? And more to the point, Denny, well, what happens in the BBC when you're out and sick? Are you on full pay in the BBC?
Do you know what, Robert, and I'm being totally serious, I'm not completely sure. We can maybe find out. I know that you do get a certain level...
Well, you should have been armed with that information.
Well,
you know,
maybe I should have, but you know what we'll do, Robert? I'll find out for you now. I've not had a lot of sick absence myself. It's probably been a couple of days in about nine years. But I'll find out for you, Robert.
Yes, I'd like to finish the conversation. Generally, people are on there criticising, saying, I heard somebody saying about 50% of civil servants are, very rarely take sick. Does that person not understand that we're all genetically different? And some people might have problems, health problems, where other people don't have health problems.
So why do you think, Robert, it's the highest in 5 years?
Well, you know, stress and people through stress might have mental health issues.
Of course.
And different other issues.
Of course, but people will say that. But the people will counter that, though, Robert, by saying if you work in the private sector or in a job where you don't have that option to have that leave, you might still be under stress, under pressure, and need but not be able to take that absence.
Well, I see that point as well, but at the end of the day, it goes back to the medical practitioner. You know, if you think you've got a problem, you go and he says, look, you're not fit to work. Where is the problem?
Maggie, where are you this morning?
I'm at work this morning. I'm a self-employed cleaner. And, Vinny, I have no benefits. I have no perks. Last year, I had a hip replacement and I had to be back in work 8 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I totally believe that, I mean, this race to the bottom is ridiculous. If you have those benefits, fair play, and I wish I had a union that I could get those benefits as well. So I say fair play to them.
So what happened? What happened, Maggie, when you had those 8 weeks off for that hip replacement?
Well, I had to just claim the sick, and which was, I mean, it's nothing. You couldn't live. Thank God. I mean, my partner, I mean, he was able to support me. So, you know, I was okay. And
so what did you get a week, Maggie?
It was 80-something pound a week.
And how far did that go?
It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere at all.
If you had, say, for example, within the civil service, you have the option of 6 months full pay. If you have had that with your employer...
But it's not an option of 6 months full pay.
No, sorry, Bumper, but it is. It's a facility that's there. Let me finish this question to Maggie and I'll bring you back in. If you had that within your employer, Maggie, how long would you have taken off?
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe I would have took maybe 12 weeks instead of 8. And that would have been, and I'm just being totally honest with you, because I was able to get back at 8 weeks, but I struggled. 12 weeks would have been perfect. That would have been perfect, but I wouldn't.
See, this is the point, Bumper. We all suffer, we all have our illnesses, we all have our problems, but if that option is there, you're more likely to take it. Whereas someone like Maggie, who still has to pay her taxes, you know, doesn't have that option and then has to actually physically be in pain.
First of all, the reason that the sick leave provisions are there is because it is civil service is an area where good, effective trade unionism applies, and I would like to see that applying everywhere. The second point is, it's not an entitlement to have it. It's the maximum you can get if you are sick, and the doctors determine if you're sick, and then the civil service has its own internal system of checking against what a GP may say. And in Maggie's case, she's absolutely right. It should be a race to the top, not a race to the bottom.
Absolutely, Bumper. Absolutely.
She went back after 8 weeks. But who knows if she had been able to have another 2 or 3 weeks. When she went back, she'd have been in a much better state to do the job 100% rather than struggling maybe to do it 50 or 60%.
Right. We were talking to Robert about the BBC sick pay. The team we've been looking here said there's no entitlement to paid sickness absence over and above the statutory sick pay. BBC sick pay is granted at the discretion of the BBC. However, where employees have complied with the reporting procedure, it is the BBC's normal practice to pay employees during sickness absence in accordance with the following limits. And this is for less than 2 years continuous service, up to 4 weeks for each illness, and up to 13 weeks BBC sick pay for all absences. And that is, yes, if you're up to 2 years, over 2 years, it's 8 weeks and up to 26 weeks. I hope that makes sense to you, because I'm not sure it does to me.
Up to the 26 weeks, if any of your maths is any good, is 6 months, so it's the same as the civil service.
That's at the discretion, so you're not guaranteed that, is the point.
Well, it's always at the discretion of management. If a civil servant...
So within the civil service, do they ever turn it down?
Yes, they do.
How often?
We regularly would be dealing with cases in all the departments from people who have been to the civil service internal occupational health who have said that these people are fit for work, yet their GP says they're not.
So how often does that happen?
Daily. Our reps...
Can you give me an idea in terms of the last year?
No argument, Bumper. You've just proved our argument. What you've said is that they have a sick line from a medical practitioner, and the works doctor, as it used to be called,
More often than not, they're not works doctors. They're occupational health nurses, and you have this tension between what an occupational health nurse may say and what someone's GP or indeed specialist might be saying.
Okay,
and there are regular rows with the management side on this.